In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Good evening. This Mass is kind of fun, isn't it? Yeah, how often do you get to have a Mass like this? Not very often within the Church do we get to celebrate in this way without much use of electronic light in this way, and it's only going to get more beautiful as the evening draws on more. Those of you who missed it in the fullness that we had on the day of the second, well, here's your opportunity as the Church allows us to do so. We in our parish always celebrate the feast of the purification of Our Lady, the presentation of Our Lord, the feast of Candlemas as an external solemnity. So you get it twice. You get it twice. Just like all great things, we do it more than once. So here today, that's what we're experiencing. We'll talk about that in just a moment. I have a couple of announcements to make. I'm going to make the good announcements. I'm going to make the really, really bad announcement that I've been portending this whole week that I was going to speak about. And then we'll get into the sermon, which is there. And the good things that we have is that the Steubenville Conference, the youth is going to have a fundraiser for the Steubenville Conference that they're going to have on the weekend of the 25th of June. They're going to have this upcoming Sunday, February 13th, after the 10 a.m. Mass, they're going to sell some burritos as one of their further fundraisers that they're going to do to make sure that we're able to go together. Now, I'm not going to be able to be with them during that time because I'm going to be celebrating a wedding for a devout young woman who actually considers herself to be a part of our parish, though she lives all the way off in Denver. So she gives her donations to us in this way and also wants to follow everything that happens in our parish. So I'm going to be there for her wedding on that day, which is to come as our kids are out there at Steubenville in their beautiful conference, which is going to be going on. Please support them in their endeavors. Furthermore, I want to let you know that during the homily, or any time after it, you can blow out your candles if you wish to, but you don't have to. You don't have to. I just ask that you don't burn our cushions or light our church aflame. So that's the only thing that's important with there. Be mindful of that. Parents and those who are more responsible in the family, whether that's the husband or the wife, please make sure that doesn't happen today. And then I have a not-so-good announcement to make. So, thanks be to God, you're all seated for this. It brings me absolutely no pleasure to say this. In fact, as I spoke about earlier, it's the worst news I've ever received in my entire life. And that's including my own mother's death a year ago. And so what I'm going to tell you is obviously really bad. So guard your hearts in this way. And we'll ask Our Lady to do something for us as well. Let's pray to Hail Mary that will be sealed under her protection. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. So what I have to share with you right now is gravely distressing. You're all familiar with a friend of mine, Father Simon Carrion, right? Yeah, you're familiar with him. He's pastor of Clovis, a dynamic man full of the Spirit of God. We were bosom bros in the seminary. And we just received, and I'm not going to give you the full details because you don't need them. I'm just going to give you the bullet points of what's going on. So today, Archbishop John Charles Wester is celebrating Mass at what was formerly his parish there in Peña Blanca. He's at this very moment celebrating Mass there because Father Simon Carrion has been stripped of all of his faculties here within the Archdiocese. He is no longer going to be a priest for the Archdiocese, nor a priest of the Catholic Church. He is leaving the priesthood. So to speak. Although a man is a priest forever in the line of Melchizedek, from the moment of his ordination, he will always be a priest forever, whether he spends his eternity with God forever in heaven or apart from God forever in hell. He is going to be leaving not just the priesthood, but he's going to be leaving the faith. Going to be leaving the faith. Greatly shocking. He is going to seek to enter into the Episcopalian Church. Bad stuff, right? Beyond that, he's seeking to enter into a marital relationship as well. And so that's all happening in short order. And so what I'm going to ask for each of you to do, as gravely as this hurts you and me, and we spend all the time together, so maybe you're not hurt more than I am as well in this, but what should we do at this time? One, don't speak to him. If you have his information or things like that, I urge you very strongly, don't reach out to him. He's in a very dark place, and this is a friend of mine. Don't reach out to him, for nothing good will come of it. You will not change him. And indeed, he may in fact have an influence over you as there is darkness effusing from where light used to come forth. So what should you do? Just like we all should do. Always pray. Pray for your priest. Pray and intercede for the priest that you know. Pray for me. Pray for all the ones who have ever ministered at this parish. Pray for Father Sinna. Pray for our Archbishop. Pray for Father Simon in this way. And offer your prayers and your sacrifices and your penance just like Our Lady of Fatima asked us to do. Pray for your priests. Pray at this time that God would remove whatever scandal that this is bringing, though it is grave scandal, and I'm only giving you a small bit of it. The rest of it can be found out, but I wouldn't urge you to even seek it out. Just pray. Pray is the best thing that you and I can do. At the entrances of the church, I clipped off a litany for you all to pray and to join me in it. It is 9 days, 10 rather, before something very grave is going to go on in his life. And so, since it is exactly this, I only found out on Tuesday, by the way, what was going on. And so, right now, I'm going to urge you to take that and to pray that litany. It's the litany of our Lord Jesus Christ, priest and victim. A powerful, powerful litany that Pope St. John Paul II used to pray even as a seminarian there. It's one that's a very old and powerful litany for priests to be after the heart of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is here. And so, to pray that prayer, to pray it once a day for this novena, and to see if God can do something great. The Poor Clares in Roswell are joining us in this novena prayer. Carmelite sisters in Santa Fe, and I'm sure many others, as they come to know what is going on, will be joining us in these same side prayers. But to pull together as a Catholic family and to realize, as the scripture says is true, that scandal will always be with the church. There will always be scandal within the church. Woe upon the one upon whom scandal falls. But put no trust in princes. As the scripture says, no trust in men, for they fall so easily. Where should our trust be? From where comes our help? From the Lord. He who is the maker of both heaven and earth. Always the focus is not supposed to be on the priest, but rather on he who is the great high priest, who is Jesus Christ, he who has passed into the heavens, the perfect high priest, the one in whom anybody who has a real priesthood has his priesthood held firmly in him. And so I invite you to pray in those prayers. They're there at the entrance of the church, and if you need further prayer and counsel, obviously I'm your father, I'm here for you. But please pray for me. This is deeply wounding to me. Seeing that scandal is over, if you want to know more about this feast day, listen to the homily that I gave on the actual feast day itself on the 2nd. I'm going to give you something which is a little bit deeper into it by talking to you today about Our Lady of the Good Event, Our Lady of the Good Event of the Purification. Our Lady of the Good Event of the Purification. Let us go to God in listening to this prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. There was a woman, a religious soul, by the name of Mariana Francesca Torres. She was born in Spain in 1563. And on the day of her first communion, just like you recently received your first communion, and those of you, like Christian and others, Roger, will be receiving your first communion soon. On the day of her first communion, at the age of 9, Our Lady appeared to this young woman. And she told her that she was destined to be a religious sister of the convent of the Immaculate Conception, but would do so not in her native Spain, but in the New World, which was just being discovered. In 1577, at the age of 13, this little girl left Spain with her aunt and 4 other companions to found a new convent of the Sisters of the Immaculate Conception in Quito, Ecuador, a great and arduous travel that was there sent before her. Later on, she was elected superior of that community, and Mother Mariana went to pray before the Blessed Sacrament. And she was given the vision of the future, of a future heresy that was going to overrun the entire of the world as a punishment, and that it would take place during the 20th century. It was a century before this one. Our Lady turned to little Mariana, the Mother Mariana at that time, and said to her, my daughter, will you sacrifice yourself for the people of this later time? Mariana replied, I'm willing. I'm willing to do so. And then what happened was that Our Lady, this blessed Mother of God, she showed this poor mother all the horrors that would occur in the 20th century, and they were so great that they caused this poor sister to faint before the Blessed Sacrament. Our Lady asked later on for an image of herself, as I have there displayed below the ambo, which is here, from which I am preaching, an image of Our Lady to be made in the convent. And this is the reason why. Our Lady wanted to make a promise to the sisters who were there in particular, doing reparation at this particular convent. She said, quote, when tribulations of spirit and sufferings of the body oppress them, and they seem to be drowning as though they were in a bottomless sea, let them gaze, therefore, at my holy image, and I will always be there to listen to their cries, to soothe their pain. Tell the sisters that they should always run to their mother with confidence and to embrace her with love. Later on, the same lady, Our Lady of the Good Event of the Good Event of the Purification, gave some dire warnings about what would occur during this 20th century. This is what she said. She said, quote, passions, they will erupt there, and there will be a total corruption of morals among all humanity. Satan himself will reign almost completely by means of the Masons, the Freemasons. And they will focus primarily upon the children in order to sustain a general corruption of all society. But woe, she says, woe to the children of these times, for it would be difficult for them to receive the sacrament of baptism and also that of confirmation. Continuing, she says, this battle would reach its most painful stage because of various unfaithful religious who, under the appearance of virtue, with a bad spirit of zeal, would turn away from the faith. She continued to say and to speak about how these vile attacks would attack every sacrament which Jesus Christ, her Son, has given to the church. Now speaking about the holy anointing of the sick, she said that the anointing of the sick will be little esteemed, so that people will not ask priests to come and to anoint their loved ones. She said many people will die without receiving this sacrament, either because of their own negligences of their families, or of a false sentimentality that tries to protect the sick from seeing the gravity of their situation that is leading them unto death, or because they will rebel against the Catholic Church. Brothers and sisters, that's going on now, and it's even happening in our own parish, as very few people call me to go and anoint them, or they wait until the very last moment to do so. This prophecy is fulfilled now. So many say, well, don't let Father come now, because that means that this soul will die soon, and so they put it off, just as is prophesied here by Our Lady. Continuing on, she says, by the malice of the devil, many souls will be deprived of innumerable graces and consolations and the strength that they need to persevere. Speaking now of the sacrament of matrimony, she says, as for the sacrament of matrimony, which symbolizes the union of Christ with his church, it will be attacked and profaned. Freemasonry will be then in power and will enact evil laws to end or to change this sacrament, making it easy for everyone to live in sin, encouraging the procreation of illegitimate children born without the blessing of the church. The Christian spirit will rapidly decay, extinguishing the precious light of faith until it reaches a point that there will be almost total corruption of all good and holy religious customs. She moves on to speak about secular education, saying it will become one reason for the lack of priestly and religious vocations. For the sacrament of holy orders, it will be ridiculed and oppressed and deprived and despised. The demon himself will try to persecute the ministers of the Lord in every possible way, and he will labor with cruel and subtle astuteness to move them away from the spirit of their vocation, and corrupting many of them. These corrupted priests, who scandalize the Christian people, will incite the hatred of false Christians, and the enemies of the people, the enemies of the Roman Catholic and Apostolic Church, will fall upon all priests. The apparent triumph of Satan will bring an enormous suffering to the good pastors of the church. Moreover, brethren, in these happy, unhappy times, there will be an unbridled luxury which will snare the rest of humanity into sin and will conquer innumerable frivolous souls who will indeed be lost. These things are going on in our time, are they not? Our Lady warned that the devil would try to destroy the sacrament of confession and also that of Holy Communion. She lamented the many sacrileges and abuses of the blessed sacraments that would occur. She said that innocence, meaning virginity, will almost no longer be found in children. There will be a total lack of modesty in the dress of women, and that in the supreme moment of need, the church, those who should speak up will instead fall silent and say nothing. This is happening in our times. Our Lady prophesied this in the 1500s. Do we see this not going on so much in our very time when we feel this here? It is February 2nd. February 2nd is the Feast of the Purification, and Our Lady came on that day to speak about this great event of what her purification does. Practiced so many thousands of years ago, it has effect even unto this very present time now. She appeared on February 2nd each time to this Mother Mariana. It was on February 2nd, 1634, that Mother Mariana was praying in the choir loft of the convent chapel. What she saw was that the sanctuary lamp was blown out. And when that sanctuary lamp was blown out, she was left in total and complete darkness all around her. And then Our Lady appeared to her and explained the happenings that were going on around her. She said that the sanctuary light that was extinguished, it was done so as a warning of the terrible times that were left ahead in the church. She explained, quote, a corrupt clergy would be responsible for dire times, and that certain members of the Catholic clergy would become themselves thieves, stealing the tabernacle light of faith from souls and from within the church. Our Lady gave five reasons why there will be such great trials within the church, and I'll list them off for you. First reason, she said, was because of the spread of heresies. Our Lady said that, quote, as these heresies spread and dominate, the precious light of faith will be extinguished in the souls by almost a total corruption of religious practices and customs. Meaning, just like today, how many churches do you know within the world who have processions into their churches, particularly even on Candlemas, in the customs of the faith? How far are they from our regular practice and our own experience today? The second reason that she gives is that there will be a false charity and the loss of vocations. Our Lady spoke this way. She said that faithful souls will suffer a continuous and slow martyrdom, that they will pray in secret and ask God that such dire times may be shortened, that they may not be vexed so greatly. Holy religious souls are doing that, like some of you are presently. Third reason is that there will be a worldwide campaign against the virtues of chastity and holy purity, and they will succeed in ruining the youth. Nuestra Señora de la Buena Suceso de la Purificación, or Our Lady of the Good Event of the Purification, she affirmed that there will be almost no virgin souls in the entirety of the world. Almost all will be lost to impurity of themselves, or whether it will be stripped from others by the malice of wicked men and women. A fourth reason is that secular powers would overrule the church in these unfortunate times, saying, quote, evil will invade childhood innocence. In this way, vocations to the priesthood will be lost, resulting in a true calamity amongst the faithful. Our Lady of the Good Event of the Purification foresaw that there would still be some good faithful religious that would be willing to suffer for the salvation of souls and become sustainers of the Holy Catholic Church through the prayer for which they offer themselves, through their willing engagement in the sufferings of their own daily lives, and particularly through the way that they offer themselves as a reparation to God in this time. The fifth reason that Our Lady gives is that people with lots of money, people of means, is what she says, will do nothing to help the church in her great hour of need because their uncaring attitude toward God and his church. Despite the fact that they have and that they may assist in other ways in prayer and assistance at Mass, they'll do nothing to aid the church in her great financial difficulties. They would have allowed evil to seemingly destroy the church because they do nothing with what it is that God has given them. What she's speaking about is not only that they won't give tithes, which Catholics don't give, right? But and even beyond that, that they'll do nothing in her grave need to support those who need it. We see these things going on within our world. And so during this time, you and I, this event which has just happened this week, so grave and so scandalous, is a reason for you and I to do greater penance. One thing that should give you and I hope is, look, in the 1500s and 1600s, all this was prophesied. And it was prophesied on many other occasions, was it not? And so if it was spoken about before, well, who has the last word in everything? It is not evil itself, but rather God himself. And so if it was prophesied, then that means that our Lord is speaking about something greater that can come through this. And you and I, during our time and during our day, can look to blessed souls just like Mother Mariana and her willingness in various ways to engage in the sufferings of her life, in the ways in which she would offer her penances so that souls might receive God's graces. She did that well many hundreds of years before our present age so that it would be lessened. And so too you in our time can do the exact same things. Do we take up the power of the rosary and do we pray it? Do we make use of the great graces that God indeed has given us? Do we engage in the formal practices of making sure that we get our souls to confession ourselves so that we can make a worthy Holy Communion? Do we make sure that when we approach here for Holy Communion that we recognize that it is truly God incarnate who is coming to us, let me just receive you as blessedly as I can and as frequently as I'm able to do so? When it comes for the opportunity to see that there is a young man or young woman who has a truly religious heart, do I do everything as a man to preserve that within them? Or do I look upon them with lustful eyes, taking from them something which is theirs? Or as a woman, do I seek to engage myself with that person, or rather see what I can do to direct them to God? Maybe the Lord is calling them to be specially theirs, to provide the way for them to answer to that religious vocation, to that priestly vocation. What do I do in my life to build up the same sort of faculty within my own family? When it comes time and for a need, when there's somebody who is sick or somebody who is in distress, do I immediately call and to make sure that they receive the sacraments early and often as it need be? Or do I let those who I know who are suffering this way to remain, and maybe by the time of their death, some priest will happen upon them? Do I do those things which are necessary in all these ways? Do I build up the reality of marriage, and do I work to make sure that my own marriage is strong and strengthened? Do I sacrifice for my wife, and my wife, does she sacrifice for her husband? In this way, to build up that relationship which is there. And when somebody has fallen into an unhappy state of living as though they were married, but though they are truly not, do I offer them encouragement and love to do which is right and help them to have God placed at the very center of that relationship so to become an outflowing of life and love as the church and God has always desired it to be? Do I make sure that these graces within the church and the sacraments of God are truly lived out in a beautiful and excellent way? Pray. Pray that you and I may be willing to suffer through the difficulties and the hardships of the daily life that we're already here, to offer the things that you and I go through as a penance, so that the church as a whole may be strengthened and our families as well, so that we can really begin to keep the faith within our homes. For our time today is full of extreme and difficult challenges, as was prophesied in the years and the ages before. We pray for the church. We pray for the bishop. We pray for the priest. We pray for the whole of the church that is there, that we, because we need that heavenly guidance within this institution which God has made to lead souls unto Him. Our Lady said this in the apparitions. She said the souls who would remain faithful in these difficult times would need great strength of will. They would need constancy. They would need valor, and they would need great confidence in God. For moments will come when everything will seem as though it has been utterly lost. They will feel paralyzed, she says. But she doesn't end there. She doesn't end there, for she prophesies that there will be a moment. She promised a moment of a happy beginning of a complete and total restoration. One of the early apparitions of Our Lady of the good event of the purification said, quote, "My hour, it will arrive when I, in an amazing manner, will overthrow the proud Satan, crushing him under my feet, chaining him to the infernal abyss, leaving the church and all the land free of his cruel and wicked tyranny." Our Lady prophesies a victory by her hand in a great and amazing, unexpected moment. The message of Our Lady of the good event of purification, in reality, it's sad. It's sad and very serious. But it should also give you and I great hope to recognize when we see these times as they're going, that's not the end. And it was prophesied that it wouldn't be the end. You and I should go forward in great hope, knowing it was all spoken about before, and so it should indeed come to pass. But the same promise that she made there in the 1500s and 1600s is the same promise that is echoed in our day in the great event that founded this church as a parish in 1917, Our Lady of Fatima, where she said defiantly in such great courage, she said, "But in the end, remember that my Immaculate Heart will triumph." In the end, her Immaculate Heart will triumph, triumph over all evil that is there. Brothers and sisters, that is very, very good news. A moment of great hope that we should have. If we but pray, prayer which obtains all things salvation itself, if we take up the might of her most holy rosary within our hands and pray it faithfully every day as her sons and daughters, if we receive well and worthily and frequently the sacraments which the Lord has provided for us that we may climb the stairway unto heaven, then you and I will be safe amidst the persecutions and evils that plague your family and mine in our day. Pray to the Immaculate Heart of Mary in this time of need. Pray to the glories of the Most Holy Trinity, under whom all names receive their greatness. Pray to the Our Lady of Fatima, who promises that her Immaculate Heart will triumph, and turn to Our Lady of the good event of the purification, so that we may receive that purification in our day and ultimately attain to the glories which God has promised for those who love Him in the glory of heaven. For in the end, her Immaculate Heart will triumph. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.